You have your Bibles this morning, and I hope that you do. Please join me in the book of 1 Samuel. That's at the beginning of your Bible. Go to the beginning and work your way back to the right, and eventually you will run into the book of 1 Samuel. Today we are going to look at the entire chapter of chapter 3 on into chapter 4, just the beginning of verse 1. So first, Samuel chapter 3 in its entirety. So back in 2005, I had the privilege to take my very first international mission trip to the country of Moldova. And whenever I went there, I was there for 2 weeks. And for the entire 2 weeks, minus one little, just tiny, quick phone call, I had zero communication with my wife and with my family back home. Fast forward about 15 years. Now, if you go on an international mission trip, you can call up your service provider and say, hey, I need international service for about 10 days. And you can be in the middle of Africa and you can call back home on your cell phone and talk to people. It's a really, really cool thing. Well, 2 years ago, I was in Panama with our church doing some mission work there, and it was really cool. We're doing great things. God's doing some great things. We're seeing Him do some awesome things among us, and I'm able to call back and to tell my wife and to tell our family, and we're able to send pictures back and texts back and those types of things. And I really like that. I like that. It's kind of a safety net for me. It's kind of a security net for me to be able to communicate back home with my family. And on about day, I believe it was day 6, we had like 2 more days to go. I'm walking along in Panama, just doing what you do these days with a cell phone, having it out, taking pictures, all those types of things. And I drop my cell phone. And I go to pick it up like I've done 1,000 times, all right? It's got that, million-dollar OtterBox that's supposed to protect it, of course. And I pick it up and I'm like, oh gosh, it's black. What's going on here? I'm pushing some buttons and I'm trying to turn it off, turn it on, nothing happens. I go home or back to the hotel and I try to get it charged and nothing happens. And all of a sudden, my anxiety starts to kick in a little bit. I'm starting to have these, shortness of breath type feelings. I can't talk to anybody. I can't find out what's going on back home. You see, the absence of communication, it made me miserable. I didn't enjoy the absence of communication. And in a sense, this is what we see going on in today's text. We see this. We see at the beginning of this text, the absence of God's word. The absence of God's word. Look at the text with me, starting in verse 1. It says, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And notice what the text says. It says, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. In other words, during this time period, God was not saying much to his people. And the question is this, why? Why was the word of the Lord rare in those days? You see, these were the days of the judges. And Judges 17:6 tells us what was going on in those days. It says this, in those days, there was no king in Israel. The text says that everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You see, God wasn't speaking to his people because of their corruptness. God wasn't speaking to his people because of their sin. God wasn't speaking to his people because they longed for the darkness more than they longed for the light. And in a sense, God was saying, without saying this, if you're not going to listen, then I am not going to speak. You see, in the Bible, the absence of God speaking is a sign of his displeasure and judgment. We see this in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but," here is the famine, "but of hearing the words of the Lord." You see, without God's word, without God's voice, there is no instruction. Without the word of God, there is no guidance. Without the voice of God, there is no direction. Without God's word, there is no assurance. Without God's word, there is no peace. Proverbs 29:18 tells us, without revelation, what's that word revelation mean? It means God's word, God's instruction. Without God's instruction, without God's word, people run wild, but one who follows divine instruction will be happy. One of my favorite seminary courses whenever I was in seminary was a class called Church History. And what Church History did for me is it gave me such an appreciation for the beautiful Word of God. Did you know that people had to die to bring us the Word of God that we're able to hold in our hand today? William Tyndale, whom theologians say is the father of the English Bible, he was burned at the stake for translating the Bible into English in the 1500s. If you ever wanted to make a good investment just into your discipleship, there's a book that I want to recommend. It's called How We Got the Bible. How We Got the Bible, and there's many of these that are out there. There's many of them that are on Amazon. But look at the one that's by Timothy Paul Jones, Dr. Timothy Paul Jones. And what this book will do for you is it will give you such an appreciation for the Word of God and how you came to receive the copy of the Word of God that you hold in your hand today. You see, church family, we are so blessed to have God's full and divine communication through His Word today. May we understand that today. Hebrews 1 tells us, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets." And what the prophets and the apostles all heard from God is all written down for us today. You see, we have God's full and complete Word today. 2 Peter chapter 1. "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." 2 Timothy chapter 3. "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." You see, church family, there is no absence of the Word of God today, at least in our context. And the question is this: are we listening to the Word of God? Again, we have the Word of God. It's not absent from us today. The question is this: are we hearing it? Are we listening to the voice of God through His Word? You see, church family, what we need most is the pure meat of the Word of God. What our world needs most is the pure meat of the Word of God. What our children, what our families need most is the pure meat of the beautiful Word of God. Because here is why. Again, without revelation, without God's instruction, without God's word, as Proverbs 29 says, people run wild, but the one who follows divine instruction, the one who follows God's word, God's law, God's precept, God's instruction will be happy. Next, we also see in this text the position to hear God's word. The position to hear God's word. Look at the beginning of verse 2 on into verse 3. It says, "At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place." Verse 3, it says that the lamp of God had not gone out yet. And theologians say that this verse is actually symbolic of what was going on in Israel during this time period. One theologian says, "The lamp of God's presence in Israel was dim, but not completely out. Just as Israel's spiritual decrepitude followed Eli's blind infirmity, now the word of the Lord will come to Israel through the spiritual vigor of young Samuel. Look at the rest of verse 3. It says this, "And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was." You see, Samuel was in position to hear God's word. He was laying down in the temple of God, while the text says that Eli was in his own place. The text tells us that Samuel was near the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God during this time period. You see, Samuel chose to be in the presence of God. And this shows us that Samuel was getting ready to take the place of Eli. You see, a new day was coming for Israel. Again, Samuel was in a position to physically and also spiritually to be able to hear the beautiful word of God. Have you ever been looking at someone whenever they are talking and not hear a word that they say? I've done that many times in my life. You see, we can all be around God's word and still not be in the correct spiritual position to hear God's word. Jesus himself illustrated this in Mark chapter 4. Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And Jesus goes on to say in verse 20 of Mark chapter 4, "But the word sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And it begs this question, what is the good soil? What is a heart that is able to hear the word of God? How can one be in the correct spiritual position to hear God's word? We have to understand this, that it starts with trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what it starts with. You see, whenever we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, and we bow our lives to His Lordship, the Bible makes it very clear that the Spirit of God, Ephesians 1 tells us, that the Spirit of God comes inside of us to dwell inside of us. Therefore, as a result of the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us, we are spiritually able to be able to understand the Word of God. We need to understand this morning, church family, that it is a divine privilege to be able to spiritually hear the Word of God and to understand it. I'm going to say that again. It is a divine privilege to be able to spiritually hear the Word of God and to be able to understand it. This past week, there was a theological journal that came out by Nine Marks. And the name of the journal is How to Build Up Your Church. And one of the articles in that journal is called Prepare to Hear God's Word. In other words, here is a way that we as followers of Christ can build up our church. Prepare to hear God's word. And the article reads like this. I'm going to read it kind of in sections. They say this, throughout the week, meditate on the passage that will be preached on Sunday. They write, pray for your pastor as he prepares his sermon. Take notes on the text. Ask questions of the text. Pray through the text. And what we have actually included in your bulletin, and we're going to start doing this moving forward, is we're going to be including our Sunday morning preaching schedule. And we would encourage you to go through and to look at that and to read ahead. Read ahead as to where we are heading, Lord willing. They also write this, prepare for Sunday morning. On Saturday night or Sunday morning, pray for your upcoming opportunity to hear God's word preached. Pray that your heart would be soft and humble before it. You see, church family, we must put ourselves in position to hear the word of God physically and also spiritually. And what's next? After we hear the word of God, we have to respond to God's word. That leads us to our next point in this text. We see the response to God's word. We see the response to God's word. Look at verses 4 all the way through 10. It says this starting in verse 4. Then the Lord called Samuel and he said, here I am. And ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call my son. Lie down again. Verse 7, Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So we see thus far in this text that God is calling Samuel to himself to experience him in a personal way. And Samuel ultimately is responding to God's call. Look at verse 8. It says, And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood calling at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears. Speak, for your servant hears. What a great thought for us to consider this morning. What a great prayer for us to pray as well as a part of our daily prayer. Speak, God. Speak, for your servant is listening. Speak, for your servant hears. You see, Samuel was in position to hear the word of God. Samuel heard the word of God, and Samuel responded to the word of God. You see, my children, my kids, they can hear my advice all day long, but until they respond to it, it doesn't really matter, right? And the same is true for you and I. You see, Samuel responding to God's word turned out to be a blessing to the entire nation of Israel, and we'll see more of that in just a few moments. And when you and I respond to God's word, not only does it bless us, it also blesses those who are around us. Isaiah said, But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. What a great promise for us today. This is the one to whom I will look, the one who trembles at my word. Hebrews 2 says, Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. You see, as followers of Christ, we are called to respond to what we read and hear from God's beautiful word. This journal that I mentioned earlier goes on to write, How to build up your church, prepare to hear God's word. They go on to say, Talk and pray about the sermon with friends after church. Start conversations at lunch by asking, How did the scripture challenge or speak to you today? Encourage others by sharing what you learned about God and His Word during the sermon. Talk to others about how you can specifically apply what you learned in the week ahead. The next point they say is this, Meditate and act on the sermon you heard throughout the week. Don't let the Sunday sermon become a one-time event that fades from memory as soon as it is over. James chapter 1. Review your sermon notes with friends or family. Choose one or two applications from the scripture and prayerfully put them into practice over the coming week. Next, we see in this text the declaration of God's word. The declaration of God's word. After he responded to the word, he declared the word. Verse 11, Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever. Here's why. For the iniquity that he knew. We looked at that iniquity last week in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So at this point, Samuel is more than likely a young teenager. And can you imagine that the very first thing that you hear from God is this? Very first thing that he's hearing from God is this. "Hey, Samuel, I'm getting ready to take out your boss and his entire family." Very first thing that he hears as this new prophet being called by God. And as a matter of fact, this would be the very first thing that Samuel would proclaim as a new prophet in Israel. Verse 15, it tells us that Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." Verse 18, the very first thing that he's getting ready to say, very first words out of his mouth, of his words, all that God told him that he's getting ready to do to Eli. Verse 18, so Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord." This is Eli responding. "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So what's Samuel doing here? He is declaring what God had said to him, even though it was a difficult message. You see, whenever I go to the doctor, I want the doctor to, of course, affirm the things in my life that are healthy, the things that I'm doing right, the things in my health that are good. But at the same time, whenever I go to the doctor, I want my doctor to tell me the things in my life that are not so good, the things in my life that are not healthy, the things in my life that are unhealthy. You see, church family, the Bible tells us that whenever we trust in Jesus Christ and his lordship for salvation, the Bible says that we are now ambassadors of Christ. In other words, we are his representatives. You see, church family, all Christians, all ambassadors of Christ are called to declare the word of God. All ambassadors of Christ are called to do this. Not just myself, not just the preacher, not just those who serve on staff at a church. All ambassadors of Christ are called to declare the word of God in our homes. We're called to declare the word of God in our jobs. We're called to declare the word of God in our extracurricular activities. We're called to declare the word of God in our social clubs. We are called to declare the good parts. Let's not forget that. We are called to declare the good parts, the easy to hear parts. Things like this: Jesus loves you. People need to hear that. We're called to declare things like this: God has a plan for you. God can provide for you. That Jesus forgives you. That nothing is impossible with God. We're called to say things like this: heaven is going to be perfect. But listen, church family, as much as we are called to declare the easy to hear parts, we are also called to declare the difficult parts, just like Samuel did here. We're called to say things like this: God will pour out his wrath on all of those who do not submit to the lordship of Christ. The Bible makes that very clear. Again, we have to declare the good parts, but at the same time, we have to declare those parts that may be more difficult to proclaim. We have to be willing to say things like this: that Jesus is the only way to salvation, that salvation is found in nothing or no one else. It's only through Christ alone. We're called to say things like this and to proclaim things like this: as much as heaven is real, hell is also real. Satan is real. And those who have not trusted in Jesus Christ alone for salvation will go to a very real place called hell. We have to be willing to say those types of things, even though it might be difficult. The very first message that Samuel proclaimed was a difficult message. And we have to be willing to proclaim the difficult parts of the Bible as well. One theologian writes, "Some Christians misguidedly believe that if they downplay the Bible's denunciation of sin, they are being more humble and winsome and are making it easier for people to embrace Christ as their Savior. To the contrary, to remove the Bible's message of God's wrath on sin is arrogantly to tamper with the message that God has entrusted to us and cold-heartedly to withhold from sinners a truth that they must embrace in order to be saved. Again, Christians must declare the easy-to-hear parts of the Bible and also the difficult parts. But let's be reminded that it must be done in love. It must be done in grace. It must be done in mercy, not in a contentious way. And you might be asking this question, well, what if it offends someone? What if it makes someone upset? Can I just tell you this, that more than likely it will. So we see Samuel declaring the word of God as God told him to declare it, a difficult message. Lastly, we also see in this text the blessing of having God's word. The blessing of having God's word. Look at verse 19. It says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. I love this. If you look at your Bible and you kind of look at it and you scan out and you look at the very beginning of chapter 3, it says that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And then you jump all the way towards the very end of chapter 3 and you look at the beginning of chapter 4. It says the word was rare, then now it says here, and the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. Theologians say that this is talking about just the grace of God. The grace of God in allowing Israel to be able to once again hear his beautiful word from his prophet Samuel. Phillips writes, at a time when God's word had been violated and trampled on by even the high priest's sons, when God's injured law provided every reason for a judgment of eternally divine silence, yet still the voice of the Lord was heard calling to a child of his covenant. You see, church family, God would have had every right to be silent to his people because of their sin, but by God's grace, the word of Samuel, which was the word of the Lord, came to all Israel. You see, church family, it is an absolute blessing to be able to have and hear the word of God. Before we move on any further in this text today, I want you to take a look at this video and think about this. It is an absolute blessing to be able to have the word of God.
This is a rural area of Henan province in China's heartland. The nearest city is about an hour's drive away. People here are poor, earning less than $150 a year from their wheat and corn crops. Many of Henan's 3.8 million Christians live in remote rural areas like this and find it very hard to get Bibles. That is why hundreds of people from the surrounding areas flocked to the church in this small village when they heard that a Bible distribution van would be visiting. The van was welcomed into the village like a celebrity. Bible Society representatives handed out 700 Bibles to rural Christians. For many, it was the first Bible they had ever owned.
F- for many of the Christians who are owning the Bible for the first time, especially in the villages, in the rural areas, yeah, you could see tears in their eyes, you could see, you know, joy and gratitude. Yeah, some of them would come up to me and to us to thank us for giving this precious gift of the Bible. I mean, I've met people who have been waiting for the Bible for the last 10 years, 14 years, and they are precious, yeah.
You see, it is an absolute blessing to be able to have and to hear the beautiful Word of God. To be able to have our own copies of it, to be able to freely open up the beautiful Word of God, to be able to hear His voice, to be able to read about Him and His great love for us, His great care for us, His great compassion and mercy for us, to be able to see and read about His plan, to be able to read and to see about us and ourselves and how we need Jesus Christ, to be able to read and to hear and to read about Jesus Christ and the fact that He is the way to have our sin forgiven. What a blessing it is to be able to have the beautiful Word of God. You see, whenever we read the Word of God, you know what happens? We're able to hear the voice of God. What a blessing it is to have the Word of God. One commentator, Del Ralph Davis, writes, "Presently, we simply note that it is a sign of God's grace when God's word has free course among God's people. That is the teaching of 1 Samuel 3. If contemporary believers have a church where social activities, committee meetings, and nifty programs have not eclipsed the place of the Word of God, if the teaching of the Word of God stands at the heart of the church's life, if there is a pulpit ministry where the Scriptures are clearly, accurately, and helpfully preached, then they are rich in the grace of God." We are rich in the grace of God because we have total and complete access to His beautiful Word. In closing, I want to give you just five quick application points to remember. The first one is this: keep the Word of God present in my life. Keep the Word of God present in my life. Let's read it at home. Discuss it with our families, with our kids. Listen to it. Go to church to hear it preached. Talk about it with others. Keep the Word of God present in my life. Read it every single day, even if it's just for 5 minutes. Even if it's just for 5 minutes, opening up a passage of Scripture and reading through it and hearing God's promises. In today's day and age, we're so blessed, again, to be able to have the Word of God on our phone. I do this quite often. I'll pull up the Word of God on my Bible app and I'll listen to it. But keep the Word of God present in my life every single day, every single week. Next, number two, be in the correct spiritual and physical position to hear the Word of God. Spiritually, have a heart that is open to the Word of God. I love what Samuel said. He said, "Speak, for your servant hears." And may that be our prayer every single time that we approach the Word of God. May we pray a prayer like that: "God, speak, for I am listening. I am listening to you. I hear you today." And whenever God's Word says something to us that might be a little bit difficult or contrary to culture, let us trust it and accept it as, "Thus saith the Lord." That's what His Word says. Let us have a heart that is open to the entire counsel of the Word of God. And also physically, Let us be in the correct physical position to hear the Word of God. So physically, let's continue to be a part of the things of God where the Word of God is proclaimed. This is why we go to Sunday school, to be able to hear the Word of God taught in a smaller group and to be able to discuss it amongst each other. This is why we come to worship, of course, to be able to sing to God, but also to be able to hear the Word of God preached and proclaimed. Let's continue to be in the correct physical place to hear the Word of God. Next, number three, may we respond to the Word of God. May we respond to the Word of God. In other words, let's do what it says. Even when it's difficult, even when it goes against culture, let's respond to the Word of God, just like Samuel did. Next, number four, let's not be ashamed to declare God's Word. Again, people need to hear the good parts. Jesus loves you, the easy parts. But at the same time, people need to hear those parts of the Bible that may be a little bit more difficult to proclaim. Let's not be ashamed to declare God's beautiful Word. And then lastly, and I think this is the most important thing that we can do today, it's this. It's to trust in Jesus, the one who fulfills all of God's Word. The most important thing we can do today is to trust in Jesus, the one who fulfills the entire counsel of the beautiful Word of God. Jesus himself said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets." That's the word. "I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." You see, church family, Jesus Christ fulfills all the righteousness that the Bible requires of you and I. Hebrews 1 says this, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs." You see, church family, there will be times whenever we mess this thing up. There will be times whenever we fell. There'll be times when we, because of our sin nature, just do not obey the Word of God the way that we should. You see, church family, whenever we trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, we gain his righteousness. His righteousness is imputed to us. It's as we have never, ever sinned. That's why we need Jesus. Again, whenever we trust in Jesus for salvation, we gain his righteousness for our sake. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May we trust in Jesus, the one who fulfills all of God's beautiful word. Would you pray with me today? Maybe you're in this place where you're watching online and you're maybe questioning to yourself or to me, why do I need to do that? Why do I need to trust in Jesus? I want to explain that to you. Here's why. The Bible says that we've all sinned. The Bible makes it very clear that one sin is enough for us to be separated from God for all of eternity. In other words, the first time that you and I disobey the Word of God, as we will, because we're imperfect because of our sin nature, the Bible says that is enough for us to be separated from God for all of eternity. But whenever we trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we gain his perfect righteousness. It's like we have never sinned. What are we trusting in? We're trusting in his finished work on the cross. That Easter story that Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect and a sinless life, and he sacrificed himself on the cross for sin. And he was resurrected from the grave 3 days later. And the Bible says that by you trusting in Jesus by faith and placing your faith in him for salvation, that you have all of your sin forgiven. And therefore, you gain the righteousness of Christ. And today you can gain the full righteousness of Christ, the one who fulfills all of the Word of God. You can say a prayer like this to God from the depths of your heart. God, I understand that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. And by faith today, I receive His sacrifice. I place my hope in Him today alone for salvation. I commit my life to Jesus today. I confess that Jesus is Lord, and I bow my life to His Lordship. And I commit my life to Him and to follow Him from this point forward, the best that I know how, the best that I can. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you for the righteousness of Christ that is given to me. And if you're in this place today and you said that to God for the very first time, or you're watching online and you said that to God for the very first time, the Bible says that you are a believer, that you're a Christian. But the Bible also makes it very clear that there is a next step for you, and that is believer's baptism. That's how we show the world that we are followers of Jesus Christ, by uniting in Him through baptism. So if you prayed that prayer today and you meant that, would you let me know? Would you let somebody know? Would you communicate that to us? Would you tell a friend? Would you fill out the appropriate form in your bulletin or online if you're watching with us online? Let us know so that we can celebrate with you, but also lead you and to guide you into what's next. God, we love you. Thank you so much for your word that's given to us. You're not silent. We have your voice every single day through your beautiful word. So God, help us to keep the word of God present in our lives. Help us to read it and to listen to it and to obey it daily. God, help us to be in the correct spiritual position to hear your word. Help us to be in the correct physical position to hear your word. God, help us to respond to your word. Help us, Father, not to be ashamed, to simply talk about what your word means in a culture that so often goes against your word. And lastly, we say thank you so much for Jesus, the one who fulfills all of your word. Because, Father, we will mess this up at times. We will not get this right. But praise God for the righteousness, the full righteousness, the full and complete righteousness of Jesus that is given to us by faith in Him. So, Father, whenever we fall, whenever we mess up, help us to fall towards you. Help us to fall towards Jesus. He picks us up, wipes us off, dusts us off, gives us His strength, His Spirit to guide us, to lead us. Thank you for Jesus. We worship Him. We love you, Father. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.